Well, could I just say again, it's a great privilege and an honour to be back with you here in Brookside. And we pray that as you continue to remember us in your prayer meetings and help us practically, that the Lord might richly bless you for blessing us in the work of the Belfast City Mission. I read that particular passage in Acts chapter 8 for a reason, of course. Philip finds himself in a revival situation in Samaria. Things are going well, souls are being saved. And how often we have said from the scriptures that God's ways are not our ways. Neither are his thoughts ours. And God moves him from that revival situation, a time of blessing, a time of bounty, and he sends him south down into a desert road. And sometimes we find ourselves in a spiritual desert and we wonder how we got here. We wonder why we're here at all. But it is all in the sovereign plan of a God who is sovereign. And there in verse 26 we read what Philip was asked to do. Very simple. Go south. He was asked to go. And this is the great herald of Jesus Christ. From the days when he sent his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature there and then. It's the same command to us in the here and now. We are still to go. And sometimes that word go makes people feel a wee bit strange. I live in East Belfast at the top of Craigor Road and I live beside a little family. Their son now is, I think, about 19. He left school about 16 and he still hasn't got a job. He doesn't want a job. He's work shy. And the sad thing about the Church of Jesus Christ, whether it be our denomination or Mission Hall, those who are blood-washed and blood-born, people are work shy within a congregation. In any congregation, in any mission hall, when people are asked to go, they do go, they go home. In any church, there is a little nucleus that does all the work. And the spectators do all the yelping, that they're not doing it right. I often say that there's helpers and yelpers. There's workers and shirkers. There's those who are thoroughbred and you have those who swing the lead. You have those who are mobilized and you have those who are paralyzed. I remember hearing a yarn about a big lazy Irishman and he had a big lazy son. And the father said to the son, "Son, away out and see if it's raining." The son says, "Ah, da, call the dog and see if it's wet." And you know, sometimes that is the mindset of believers. If somebody will do it for us, we'll let them get on with it. But there's no use yelping about it. For my sins, I support Manchester United. And I was over at Old Trafford a couple of weeks ago with my son, and I was telling Ronaldo how to play right. And when they hit the ball in. You see, I'm an expert because I'm a spectator. And we're so good at giving advice when we're not doing nothing. And I'm sure, as it is within the work of Belfast City Mission, so it is the same in Brookside Presbyterian Church. There's work to be done. In the organizations, in the Sunday school, in the PW, whatever work there is here, I'm sure they're crying out for leaders. And Philip is asked to go. And notice secondly in verse 27 how Philip responded to that request. It says he started out. He started out. And we all have to start out. How do you need an elephant? A bite at a time. How did Sir Edmund Hillary climb Everest? A step at a time. And when God calls us to go, we have to start out. Maybe you're a young believer here this morning in this congregation, and God has been moving in your heart and life. He saved you by His grace. You're rejoicing in a salvation, and you feel the call of God in your life. The Spirit is stirring you to do something, and you don't know what to do. Well, continue to seek His face. Be guided by the Word. Be guided by the Spirit. Be guided by the advice that your minister and elders can give you. But you need to get up off your backside and start out. What Philip was asked to do, he was asked to go. You remember that happened to Jonah? And Jonah said no by his actions. He went in the opposite direction. And let me tell you, when you say no to God, you begin to go down. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He went down into the sea. He went down into the fish's belly. And let me tell you, the fish's belly is not a very pleasant experience. A disobedient Christian, a backslidden Christian, in a dank, dark place with the old weeds around your head, and realizing Jonah cried to the Lord, salvation belongeth unto the Lord, and the Lord was gracious unto him. For it says in Jonah that God said to Jonah a second time, arise and go to Nineveh. We need to go. We need to start out. But notice in verse 27, whom Philip met along the way. It was an Ethiopian eunuch sitting on a chariot, a man of a high position. He was the chancellor of the exchequer. And there he was sitting reading the word of God and scrolls from the book of Isaiah, and he didn't know what he was reading. He didn't know who it was about. You see, friends, you never know who you meet along the way. When you're obedient to God, when you answer the call to go, when you start out, God will put people across your path. Who would have thought that Philip, being called from Samaria, from this revival situation, down into a desert place, would meet a man? But God knew. Doesn't it say about Jesus Christ that Christ must needs go through Samaria because there was a woman there at the well who needed saved? And Christ went actually out of his way to go there to speak to this lady about her soul salvation. And God will put people across your path for you to speak to them about Jesus Christ. I was about 21 years of age. I didn't become a Christian until 25, but I was on holiday in Canada in Montreal with a friend, both unsaved guys. To my shame, we were standing in a public bar in downtown Montreal. And this fella came in and he stood down at the other end of the bar, and from being from East Belfast, you know, I'm very observant, and I seen him giving me the evil eye. He says, what's he looking at? And he watched me and I watched him, and I wondered what was going on. I thought I was going to get a thump in the chin or something. But after a while, he made his way down and he says, you call you Bobby Brown, don't you? In a Canadian accent. I says, how do you know? He says, you and I were in primary school together. You know, it was amazing, and we struck up that friendship again that we had in primary school. George Lunn, one of our missionaries, he was in Melbourne, Australia, in a downtown bus, and a wee woman got on from his mission hall and shouted, oh, Jory, what about ye? It's amazing who you meet across your pathway. And city missioners meet people on the doorstep, in city streets, around the town as we do open air works. People from all over the globe in these days. We used to send missionaries out to foreign fields, and now the foreigners are coming to us. What an opportunity, what a privilege, and we need a strategy in the church and the mission to reach them. And I'll tell you a thing about that in a moment or two. But Philip met this Ethiopian eunuch, and you know, he realized the spiritual state of this eunuch. You know, it says here in Acts chapter 8, and this is tremendous, that it says that the eunuch was down to worship God. He went to Jerusalem to worship God. He was a worshiper of God, yet withal he wasn't saved. Can that be? Maybe you've been worshiping God here in Brookside for donkey's years. Look at Nicodemus, a worshiper of God, a teacher of the law, a ruler of the Jews, a member of the Sanhedrin, not a Christian. Jesus said, you must be born again. Look at Lydia down by the riverbank in Acts chapter 16. Where was she? At a prayer meeting. It says Lydia was a worshipper of God. Paul and Silas came in to the city and Philippi came down by the riverbank, and the Lord brought across their path this wee woman, and the Lord opened her heart. Look at Cornelius. Look at the Saul of Tarsus himself, a worshipper of God, a zealot for God. Yet withal wasn't a Christian. Is that you? Coming to your place of worship every Lord's Day, and God bless you for it. Reading the scriptures, saying your prayers, putting in your envelope. But maybe not a Christian. And the Ethiopian spiritual state was that he was a worshipper, but not a believer in Jesus Christ. But notice something here about Philip. He was spirit-led. Philip was told to go by the Spirit down to Gaza, to go up to the chariot. He was Spirit-led. And you and I who know and love the Lord, we need to know what it is to be led by the Spirit of God on a daily basis. As soon as we open our eyes, Lord, this is a new day of opportunity. Lead me where you want me to go. Help me to say what you want me to say. Lord, empty me of myself. Fill me with yourself. Be not only resident in me, but be president over me. And lead me to some soul today, and teach me, Lord, just what to say. And the Lord will. We need to be Spirit-led. We ought to get off this merry-go-round of Christianity, week in, week out, year in, year out, doing the same old things. And I say that with love. We need to be filled with the Spirit. You think of Samson. A mighty weapon in the hand of God, taken by the Philistines. What happened to him? He lost his vision, put his eyes out. And I believe today the church has lost its vision. We've got spiritual cataracts and we need them removed. Without a vision, the people perish. And we need to get a vision of the Lord before we get a vision of the lost. Not only did he get his eyes put out, he not only lost his vision, but he lost his vitality. Remember when they cut his hair off, he lost his strength. And why are we so weak today? Why are we the laughing stock of a society in which we live? We have lost our vision. We have lost our strength. Look at Samson. He's now in a prison house, a Philistine prison house, and he's grinding in an old mill. What's he doing? He's walking round in circles blindly. Are we playing at Christianity? Are we going round in circles? Never breaking the mold, never making a change. Something else about Philip here, he was familiar with the Word of God. Look at verse 34. You see, when he heard the Ethiopian eunuch reading from Isaiah, Philip knew straight away where he was reading from and who he was reading about. Do we know the Word of God like that? Are we spiritually in tune with the Spirit? Are we spiritually in tune with the Word of God? Let me tell you, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses who come and knock on our doors, let me tell you, they know their stuff. Tie up in knots. And we need to know the Word of God. And we need not only to believe it, but we need to know why we believe it. And when these guys come to the door, we can point them to John chapter 1 and verse 1 and speak about the deity of Christ, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, as their Bible says, a God. But we can say that the Word was God. Jesus Christ was more than a mere man. He's divine. He's God manifest in flesh, the invisible who's become visible. The Creator who's become a creature without sin. The Sovereign who became a servant. And this is our aim, to reach the people in Belfast with the message of the Gospel. And we need to know the Word to do that. And finally, he had the privilege of leading this man to Jesus Christ. Who's the Scriptures about? Says the Ethiopian eunuch. And he began to explain to him
the story of Jesus. Being like a lead, like a lamb to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth, and I'm sure he intimated to him the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection. What hinders me to be baptized? If you believe with all your heart, you can. And he believed and was baptized. And that is the privilege of every individual believer. If we're filled with the Spirit, if we're willing to go, there's no better thing in the world than leading a soul to Jesus Christ. No, the world sings, you know, there's no business like show business. What a lot of your nonsense. There's no business like the King's business. And the King's business requires haste, for we're living in terrible and dark and dire days. Let me say something as I conclude about the work of the mission. First of all, I want to use just a few words to explain myself. And the first word is the word declaration. It is the responsibility of the Belfast City Mission and every missionary within the staff to declare the full counsel of God. How do we do it? Well, of course, we have a Sunday evening service. We're not a church. We're a mission outreach. We are fishers of men. We're not aquarium keepers. We get our sleeves rolled up. We get our hands dirty. As Dr. John Gervin once said, that city missionaries are miners working on the coal face. Maybe reaching people that the church cannot reach. And we declare the full counsel of God in our Sunday schools, in our youth clubs, in our homework clubs, being faithful to the Word of God. I was talking to the boys and girls about asking the Polish guy for directions. Ivan Patterson, one of our new missionaries working under the shadow of Windsor Park there in the Lisburn Road District. He's a big Polish community around him, and Ivan is actually taking Polish lessons on a Wednesday night to relate to them the gospel in their own mother tongue. Adrian Adger, one of our missionaries up in, I think you know Adrian from Ahako. Adrian's a wee fella, you know, compared to me. Adrian is teaching English lessons to Polish people on a Saturday morning, and he's teaching them English through the Word of God. He's not behind the door, you know, Adrian. And do pray as we come across people from Lithuania and Portugal and Ukraine, from Eastern Europe, and the tourists that are coming into our city and our summer outreach. And in our teletourist time at the City Hall, Yanks are coming, the Japanese, the Chinese, you name it. You go down to town on Saturday afternoon, as I do with my wife, and you think you're standing in a holiday destination, all the different lingos. You really do. People coming for short weekend breaks from the north of England and all over even Britain. It's marvellous. What an opportunity. And we need to be ready. We need to have a strategy. The mission needs to have strategy to reach people for the Lord, to declare to them the gospel. Remember Willie's lunchtime service on a Thursday, up facing the cafe, as folks come in from the business community, street people, foreigners, people just met 5 minutes beforehand on the pavement. Good numbers now on a Thursday, 25 and over. Mixed community, different classes, cultures, creeds, in to hear the gospel. Remember that little prayer meeting after that in the cafe, that the Lord might move in a mighty way. And what they have heard, they'll put into practice. We declare the gospel in our Presbyterian churches, those churches that are vacant, those churches where ministers are off ill, and we cover pulpit supplies. We're asked to do gospel missions. Remember a mission, God willing, to be held in March in Dunedin and First Randallstown. The Reverend John Holmes and Mr. George Ferguson will be speaking, and the team will be down, the whole staff will be down doing the outreach prior to the mission. Remember a mission plan, God willing, for Mourne Presbyterian Church in Kilkeel with our good brother William Bingham. And George Lunn and myself are responsible for that mission, and the whole staff will be down again, covering the whole district with gospel literature and speaking to people on the doors. Remember a mission that we're helping out in Annalong Presbyterian Church, For Roger Carswell will be the preacher, and the mission team will be down swamping the area, inviting the people in, working at the coalface. Declaration. Why do we do it? Here's the second word, regeneration. Coming into Belfast at night, going over the M3, and you get a view of the city. It's absolutely beautiful now. Victoria Centre, the Blue Dome, looking down in the Odyssey and across the city. It's unbelievable. I have a friend who lives in Montreal. When he comes home, he's amazed at the change that happens every 5 years. He says, this place is unbelievable. It's unrecognizable from when I left it. It was rubble when he left it. And there's been regeneration in our city in a materialistic way, but we need regeneration spiritually in our churches and in our mission halls. And praise God, like Philip, we have the opportunity of leading folks to Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. Raymond Hume, the missionary, up there in York Road that borders Taggers Bay and North Queen Street. Raymond was visiting a little deer in hospital, and the wee deer was hard of hearing. That's why most of us missionaries speak loud, because most of the people that listen to us are hard of hearing. My wife shouts at me when I'm on the phone, keep your voice down, you can hear you down the bottom of the Newton Yards Road. But Raymond was visiting this old deer, and of course your minister knows when you're in a hospital and someone is hard of hearing, the whole ward hears you. As you read the scriptures, as you pray. And God brought someone across Raymond's path. It wasn't the woman that he was ministering to, but it was the woman across the bay who called him over, and he led her to the Lord because he was speaking out loud to this other lady. We were down helping Billy Patterson in Drogheda not so long ago, doing outreach in the estates round there. What a privilege, what an openness. And Roman Catholic people, hungry for the word of God. And a dear lady came to faith that day, or a week later rather. One of our missionaries spoke to her, and Billy phoned a week later to say that she trusted the Lord after young Paul went away from the door. And I could multiply examples. Billy Bean, the big estate there in East Belfast, two were saved this year at our BB camp. Two were saved at the youth weekend after the BB camp. God is at work. Souls are being regenerated by God's Spirit. We need to declare the gospel. Declaration, regeneration, communication is very important in any spiritual work, or indeed any work. We communicate people through our magazine, through our prayer update, through topical literature that we use. We used this one at the European Cup Finals during the summer. It's geared to football, but simple gospel message. Plenty of pictures, not wordy, simple gospel message. This is the one we're using in Dunedin and Randallstown. Pictures inside of around the Randallstown area that people can identify with. One in Macrafelt that we took not so long ago. We used this one during the Olympics. Topical gospel tracks that we put together. We used this one at the Balmoral Show. St. Patrick's Day down in the town on the 17th of March, where Willie Kern heads up the volunteers before they, or as the crowds gather to watch the parade. Thousands of these are given into the hands of Roman Catholic people. Do pray for our outreach and the literature that we use. Rathcoole Estate, that vast estate in North Belfast. There's the photographs of the famous flats beside our mission hall. And topical tracks, attractive tracks, are used to reach people, and communication is very, very important. We have our website, we have our email system as well, and we pray that God will, we got a donation there about 3 years ago, I think it was, a lady just browsing in her living room in New York City, came across Belfast City Mission website. She sent us in a gift for $10,000. So if you're browsing through the day, you remember that. And While I'm talking about that, Tommy Loverty was saying to me on the way in, Bobby, did you bring magazines? I says, I did. He says, did you bring envelopes? I says, I forgot. Well, he says, tell the people just to put it in the envelope. If there's any gifts for the city mission, I'll go even better. You can put it into cost cutter bags. You can put it into a wheelbarrow if you want. Or if you have a horse box, you can fill it up. We don't mind. But we do appreciate your prayerful and your practical help to the work of City Mission. My time's gone. Declaration, regeneration, communication, supplication. Do continue to pray for the missionaries on the ground. or William, or mention David Bell. Remember David, one of our new missionaries up in Ballysillan. Remember Ivan Patterson, one of our new men, John Martin, over in Bloomfield. And if you want to add it to our prayer, Rhoda, if you want magazines sent out to you, perhaps you could give your name to Stanley Kyle or to Tommy, and we'll certainly get you onto our mailing list so that you can supplicate wisely for the work of the mission. Pray for navigation, that the Lord might lead us and guide us in the coming days, and pray as we struggle, like many other missionary societies, for the word donation. It takes somewhere in the region of £600,000 per annum for the ongoing work of the city mission. And I know we're all being hit, and we're watching our oil tanks. We're going round now turning off electric lights that we don't need on. Everybody's tightening their belts. But we still have a God who's unchangeable, a God who's called Jehovah Jireh. And we're depending on him this year again to meet our needs in the city mission. Let me tell you one story, and with this I'm through. Some years ago, George Ferguson decided we needed a new hall in Glencairn. They were meeting on two old school mobiles. Took a step of faith to build a brand new hall, and it's a smashing hall. If you've been up at Christmas time around as we sort the toys out, it's a smashing hall for the youth in BB and GB, coffee bar. But George took the step of faith and began, got in contact with the architects, with the builders, began to build. You know, if anything about building, the builders started and all the certificates starting coming in, you start paying money out. It was getting near the end. George came into the staff meeting one Friday morning. The big one was coming in. He says, "Man, we need to pray, you know, for this build to be covered. We want to start the Glencairn work without being in debt." And we prayed fervently for the money to come in. I want to take you back 2 years prior to this. There was a wee woman down the country who owned a farm. And in her will, she had left her farm to her neighbouring farmer. But the neighbouring farmer's cows get into her garden and eat her flowers. And she wasn't too happy. So she changed her will from the farmer to the mission. And when we needed the money, the will was released and it paid off the hall. So we're praying for more cows to get into more gardens, to eat more flowers. May the Lord bless you.